I am referring to this budget as the continuity and restraint budget. I'm taking those words from the county administrator's media message, and we will keep that in mind as we move forward. One of the things that I will announce to you, for example, we're up number one, according to the schedule, is the county clerk, and that will be in section 4, page 49, in your budget book. Before the next meeting, we will have all the page numbers and sections listed as we move forward. Does anyone have any questions to start out with? Welcome the county clerk, potential county clerk, Maureen, and she is here to do the budget. You all have the PowerPoint at your desk, and we're ready to go.
So let's start at the 2015 budget. I'm the first to go. Recommended budget, we came in with a county administrator target for the county clerk, DMV, records, and central services. I don't always understand the percent change, but we came in what he told us to come in at. So,
can we lower the lights to watch the screen?
You know, I don't. Yes, there we go.
Okay. For full-time equivalent employees, we're the same as we are the past few years. We have no OTRs this budget. I just want to go over a few things we've been doing. The New York State Archives Shared Service Grants. We've been very successful with that with our partners in our towns, villages, and the city. Just recently, we were awarded $150,000 to include the six villages. And just so you know, we have received over $1.4 million in grant funding for this project. We have our shared service group. April from the town of Groton came up with our logo here. And now in our shared service group, we have every municipality in Tompkins County as a partner in our county-hosted digital archiving solution. And the entire project has been covered by grant funds. We're moving into the bunker for our records up there, and we did have an open house in May. I think it's kind of funny, but it was a lot of fun. We had two busloads of people, and a few people in the room came. In January, I did a YouTube video for Laserfish at a conference out in California, and due to that, we won the 2014 Digital County, sixth in the nation. We made a lot of news. A lot of tech magazines picked us up, and we've done a lot of articles all over national tech magazines. So basically, that's it. Any questions? Fast Furious?
Questions? Mike?
Are all of our records digitized now, or where are we with them?
Well, it depends. If in the record center, the majority are digitized. As for departments, we haven't worked through all that, all the departments yet. We're working in each department some, different amounts. And I see that as a possibility of coming back in 2016 and working more with departments on that. We've been so busy with the shared service stuff with the towns and villages. Like, I have to go out and get all the villages next, their records. So after that, then we'll come back and do more in the county.
And do you think that the revenue stream from the grant program is going to continue?
They're very happy with the work we've been doing. I've talked to every conference in the state over the last 6 months, and they're trying to push what we're doing here for other counties and municipalities to look at.
Thank you.
Will.
Welcome, and thanks for your courage in getting us started. Tell us a little bit about the revenues that they come in. Besides what you get from us, I assume you get fee, and you get from the state. Is that fee-based defined by the state, or is that state grants?
Well, we have different revenues. The county clerk has the revenues coming across the counter from customers for the filing fees. DMV has customers, the filing fees, or the fees there. As for the state archives, that's money that we write grants for, mm-hmm. and then we get that back from them.
So I was just trying to see in the budget, what percentage of your budget would be fee-based? Do you? Would that be local? Would that be?
You know, our fees go to different places. Like some go to the highway department, some go to unallocated revenues, and different things. It's probably $20 million comes across our counters each year. You know, probably 16, 17 million goes to the state, and then the, you know, different departments, and the rest comes back to the county in some way.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Dooley Kiefer. Please use your microphone, Dooley.
Yes. County Clerk, Appendix B, page 3, that's where you list your contractors. And I noticed that Laserfiche, the general code, has gone way up this year. Is that normal?
It's due to the fact that we're hosting for all the municipalities, so then we have to charge back to the municipalities for that, but we pay it, we front the cost.
So you will be... So your actual, that will be covered under revenues somewhere else in the budget. Mm-hmm. I hadn't put those two together yet. There's something else. Will, were you asking about Appendix A, page 9?
I was. No, I was on the Section 4, page 52. But I will come, Appendix what?
A.
No, it's okay. There. That was. It was about. That's where your fees are detailed, also. Okay. And there are a lot of them. And I'm sorry, Nate isn't here. I wanted to say that I think it would be good for GEO to go through that list sometime and try to understand it. There are so many.
There are so many. There's so many revenue streams that I think I confuse Joe and Kevin when I come to them with the sheets and all these colored graphs and stuff. Yeah.
So, Kathy, or is anyone taking notes tonight? Hi, I can't see you.
Kiefer, Kathy Colbert.
So could you make a note to Nate, please, for me, that I think that would be a useful thing to put on GEO's agenda whenever there's time for it. And
is your question, are they changeable? They're,
no.
Oh, okay. What they are.
I think it would be good for us to try to understand them.
That's fine.
There was. So DMV seems... I don't understand the hierarchy and the staffing structure of DMV. It seems to have changed. Could you explain that, please?
Currently, Roxanne is the supervisor down there.
There's no head person, though?
Well, that would be the county clerk would be the head person, and then Roxanne is like the, I'm the Maureen here, and then she's the Maureen down there.
So she has the same job title as everybody else there?
No, she's deputy county clerk also.
I was trying to figure out the full-time equivalents for each of the different programs, and that didn't, I couldn't figure that one out. Do you know which page that is explained on by any chance? No.
Dooley, the FTE chart or schedule of FTEs for the county clerk are on Section 4, page 50.
That's very near the beginning. Yeah. Well, the DMV's supervisor is listed as nobody.
Yeah, it's a deputy county clerk.
That's what was confusing me. I thought there was a supervisor.
Yeah,
there.
No.
Okay. And you've gone down in the number of examiners and gone up in senior examiners.
Correct. We're trying to do more of a, you know, for retirements and succession planning, some mentoring to bring people in as supervisors.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's it.
Anyone else? Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you.
Up next will be the Highway Division, and that is Section 4, page 160 in the big book. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello. Before we have the 2015 highway budget. The first screen, similar to what you'll see, I think, with a lot of presentations, is the how the budget's made up. You'll see where the percent change in the last column for the expenditures is under the 2% at 1.74. You'll see this mentioned in the next slide, where we're covering some of the major influences, is that our revenue has increased. That's balancing out where the net local share is only about a little over a 0.5% increase. Talk about some major influences. The higher cost of snow and ice control. Everybody remembers winter of last year, and the way that we pay it to the towns is nicely done in that it comes in the following year as to what we pay out, and so now it's time to pay them, and we did see a pretty good increase of about $179,000. Way that we addressed that was to pull some out of our reserves. I feel it's pretty strongly that's a great place to, and it's a great resource to use, because a lot of the reserve was built in order to, and or left over from our snow and ice budget. At the end of the year, that's the one area that we do never transfer money out of and try and spend in other ways. Our snow and ice budget remains intact, and any balances on those mild years will go to the reserve. So it's a really makes sense place to use that resource. Also, as I mentioned in the previous slide, pulling forward to this slide, I feel that there's been a large dedication and commitment of Tompkins County to maintain a safe and efficient modern fleet of trucks and equipment. Revenue increase, keeping it to that 0.5% impact to local tax dollar, is a sentiment and is driven by our trade-in value of our vehicles that we're exchanging for new. The number that we're anticipating revenue in that for just the vehicles is $148,000. Leading us to our equipment replacement and acquisition, a couple of slides. This year we're going for, and it's based on a two-year replacement for our pickup trucks. We're planning to acquire 4 3/4-ton pickup trucks and 2 half-ton pickup trucks. There's quite a bit of information there, but it does run down what our current operation and cost is per mile for each vehicle. The anticipated revenue for the 4 vehicles that we'll be trading in, and then the cost per vehicle that we anticipate getting at auction. The next slide is our larger purchase of a tandem axle snow and ice truck at $250,000. We don't have quite the revenue showing here. We are looking to trade in a 1985 auto car as the manufacturer for that, and that truck is definitely used its useful life. Next slide, we have a budget history. A little difficult to see much change here, but if you look closely, the 2014 to 2015, there is a slight increase there. Looking at the commodities, I always like to throw this slide in. There's generally some interest here. Again, it's a little different or a little difficult to see much of a change, but in 2014, we've seen an increase in all but, well, in both salt and asphalt. We're looking at about a $4.61 increase in the asphalt prices per ton, a little bit less with $1.64. The $4.61 was salt increase. Salt has gone up a considerable amount. Asphalt was $1.64, and then we've actually seen a decrease in gas and diesel, 30 cents for gas and 10 cents for diesel. Kind of hard to see that. I did bring some extra copies to share. This is a map delineating our road construction plans for 2015. This does take into account not just our CHIPS funds, but also our $1.2 million bond monies, also some of our federal funds that we're bringing into the county, other stakeholder funds with Ellis Hollow and Game Farm Road, which would include some cost sharing with Cornell University. Some of these bridges are actually some that we're going to be performing in-house, and we've designed in-house. They're smaller box culverts and that sort of thing. But it kind of gives you a look at what we're looking at for road construction. And then the next slide is our bridge construction, which gets to where I was just mentioning, where we're doing some of these in-house for the smaller bridges and culverts. This is the 2015 plan of various bridges that I think will be in different stages of construction or possibly finishing up the design, but will definitely be started and worked on throughout the 2015 year. Next slide is our full-time equivalents. We're FTE, we're staying the same. I did notice on my way before coming down here that I did not change the recommended year. It should say 2015. It still says 2014, but the numbers of the actual FTEs are identical. Next slide shows a trend of FTE, years over the course from 2011. You can see where we were lowered in numbers, and we've come back a little, and I think we're at a good spot right now, maintaining the numbers that we've had for a few years. In the 2015 budget, I'm not asking for any OTRs, and the last slide, I always like to give credit to the facilities for doing some nice landscaping in front of our really nice facility. And at this time, I could love to have some questions if you had any.
Mike?
How are we doing on the overall road maintenance program? Are we keeping up? Are we getting further behind? Are we making progress on it? I know we've been behind in the past.
I think that a lot of great strides have been made to our overall infrastructure. I think that the bond monies that are coming in for the next 5 years, the next 4 years, the $1.2 million are going to help immensely. We do maintain over the years, the board has keyed into an OCI, which is your index of your quality index of your roads, or your PQI, and there's different initials that they use for that. And if you were to look at that on our general road index, it is very good. If it was on a 10, it would be probably about a 7.5 overall. We have a lot of really good roads. With that said, we have a lot of roads that are in need of work. If you were to look closer, it was a little hard to see. If you look closer at that map, we're really trying to identify the higher traveled roads, utilizing our fundings and utilizing a lot of the different tools out there to get the most with our money and get down the road as far as we can.
So, and are we using the road maintenance program to, you know, understand the quality of the pavement and things like that that we put in over the years?
I'm still using the basically the five-year plan of roads. If you were to look at last year's list and this year's list, there are about half of those roads that were actually on last year's list, and I've carried them forward to this year. The reason for that is that it's a goal to try and do all those roads. Unfortunately, and the reality is that other roads will pop up every season and actually take precedence in front of those roads that we plan on doing. And also the cost of materials, and when we get to a road, when we pick a road, we really want to use the best possible fix for that piece of road, that segment of road. And in order to do that, sometimes it costs a little more, sometimes it costs a little less. The actual roads we pick and choose, I mean, every year if we do or aren't able to get to the road, we're going to keep it on the list. And when that road makes it on the list, it's not going to come off the list until it's done, it's completed.
Thank you. Well, at least out in my town, we've been hearing a lot of complaints, not only on about county, but more so on towns about people not liking ditching going on. And I question whether the public really understands the function of ditches as part of the whole road system. And I wondered if we should be thinking about any kind of additional efforts to try to educate the public about those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. And a critical aspect of the how long a road lasts is to keep the water away. The water is what really shortens the life of a road, and it creates the low point of the water table of the road rising up under the traveled way. And with our frost and freeze thaw that we have in this neck of the woods, it's very important to keep the water down below the road and away from the road.
Thank you.
I have Loves and then Will.
Hi.
Hi. I have, and maybe these are questions for Joe, and perhaps you can help me as well. I am interested in the overtime line here in Highway and the consolidated budget. We went from an actual of $16,744 in 2012.
Leslie, could you mention the page number, please?
I'm sorry. Page 160. So you're now looking at $115,000. That is a huge increase, even from $36,000 in 2013. So I wonder if you can explain what accounts for that.
I can explain a part of it. And every year I have to re-educate myself about the way we do overtime. So some of this may be familiar ground. When we look at the actual overtime expense in the prior years, that is the overtime premium. So when we pay overtime, we pay time and a half. That's 1.5. But the way our accounting system works, the 0.5 part of that overtime expense shows up in this overtime line. And then the other one shows up, essentially the straight time, shows up in the salary and wage line. So if you want to look across, if you want to compare the actual amounts that you see in the budget for 2012 and 2013, the amount being requested in overtime, triple the actual. And that will give you a sense of how far apart we are varying from the prior year's actuals in this overtime budget. He'll explain why we do it this way. I will never quite understand it, but that's why. Again, you're only seeing what we call the overtime premium, the extra, the 0.5 in the actual line.
So is the 115 then what it will be 1.5?
That's the full 1.5.
But then when it shows up in an actual, all we see is the 0.5.
You got it.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
And you'll see, you'll see this again. When we get to the other overtime consumers, the sheriff's office, for example, you'll see the same kind of
thing. Yes. Then my other question has to do with what accounts for the revenue overage that you mentioned. It's about $100,000.
The extra revenue is for us trading in our vehicles.
That's where that came from.
Right.
Thank you. I had another question, but I don't know where it is. I marked it.
I have Will, then Brian.
Jeff, my eyes are not good enough to read that map of all your projects. Is there a list somewhere? I was quickly looking through it. Is it in our books or elsewhere?
There isn't a list in your book. No, there would not be a list in your book.
Would it be on your web page?
We can put one on our web page for our planned project. Generally, we do that, and I also will bring one through the F&I committee, which would eventually get out to everyone as far as our planned projects.
Okay. Anything of the magnitude of Henshaw Road, or are you spared a year or something?
Ellis Hollow Road is planned on going to construction in 2015.
Okay.
Between Genung and Game Farm Road.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And building on Leslin's question, the overtime, regardless of the accounting, it looks like there was a significant increase. And I assume that varies from year to year, but why did it go up so high? Was it the weather? Or?
I think if you took that number and made it the third or that, it would be very close. But, yes, weather, the harsh winter, our overtime was adjusted to a little bit higher amount. We actually raised our salt purchase number, I could show you in here, from 90 to 150 ton. We're anticipating. We want to be ready. We don't want to have to come in the spring and look for more money. We hope that they're safe numbers. And like I said, with the snow and ice things, and they do just go back into that reserve fund at the end. So it is... it's a kind of a guess every year, but we try and have it at a realistically safe number.
Thank you.
Brian.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the salt, Jeff, because wasn't there a bit of, I don't know if you got to be politically correct or not, but a little bit of price gouging going on last year towards the end of the year where people had run out and they were basically competing for salt, and all of a sudden the price went way up.
The salt is you really need to stay keyed into what's going on statewide, and sometimes they, you know, if it's more of a weather in Pennsylvania, they'll pull salt there, or up in Canada it does reach out to further areas northeast, as large as that. But last year, towards the end, it was definitely a short commodity. New York City was putting some controls and pulling salt away from some towns. Every year, you tell the state, or you acknowledge to the state, if you're purchasing off state contract, how much you plan on using. That tonnage, you can increase for that amount up to 20% over that. If you go beyond that, there's no guarantee you're getting salt, and there's no guarantee what price you're going to pay. So that's what you saw last year, is that when you heard some of those horror stories, some of the towns, I think, that don't always necessarily use as much salt were way over their 120%, and were, if they could get it, they were paying a lot for it.
And the other thing is, I always thought there was a maybe not direct, but certainly a correlation between the price of asphalt and the price of petroleum. And in this case, asphalt went up, but your gas and diesel went down. What's that all about?
The only way I could answer that is I think asphalt went up, but not very much. And, you know, normally when you talk about asphalt prices and gas prices, they fluctuate. You know, they'll go through the ceiling. If you look back about 5 years, the price was $10, $15 more than it is today for asphalt per ton. I guess that is a little bit odd, but I don't think that's too far off base, is that the gas and diesel really only went down a little, and the asphalt only went up a little. They've, you know, over the long haul, if you were to graph it, I don't think you'd see much of a blip up or down.
Thanks.
Yep. Loveland.
Thank you. I just remembered my other question. Again, Joe, this might be for you. I don't know. The seasonal staff, where are they accounted for in this budget?
I think they'll just be in the salary and wage account. We don't call out in this budget full-time versus seasonal. So I think they're all in the salary and wage line. Is that correct?
And there's some reflection of them in the FTE schedule for the department as well.
Okay, so I was looking through that and trying to see. So seasonal worker, does that mean that you only hired 4.19 people? And I didn't think so.
No.
I marked that. So where are they? It's, or how many?
It's 7 or 8 people part-time through the summer.
Okay.
But equivalent to 4.19 full-time employees. Yeah.
Okay. I think that was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff, I had one question about the vehicle purchase. Are they state contracts, or are we piggybacking on with other counties?
We have been piggybacking and having a lot of success off of Oneida County's contract. It very closely reflects what the state contract was. At this time, I'm not sure if there is a state truck contract. I think they're still working on getting one out.
Thank you, because I was at a meeting last evening in Ulysses, and they talked about buying a vehicle, and it was a statement was this, the buying on state contract is in a state of confusion, I think someone said. Anyway, yeah. Anyone else have any questions?
I just asked Joe Fong. Oh, sorry, Dooley, go ahead. I was just wondering, Joe, if I, for my own interest, if I can get just a breakdown of the seasonal staff and what they have cost over the last couple of years.
Sure. Thank for you. That department or for all?
For highway.
Just for highways. Sure.
Just for highway.
Dooley.
I'm looking at Appendix C, page 3, and notice that there are now, you're paying for 3 memberships in the Town Highway Superintendents Association, up from 2, and I just wondered why.
I think that that's okay. I think it's really something that we've been attending regularly, probably an average of 3 people, and now we're trying to really actually pay for 3 people.
And that would be you and who else?
Matt Whittemore and Jeff Lucas are 3. Sometimes Tom Jacobs will attend. It's not so specific to certain individuals. It's more to have 3 in attendance.
Anyone else?
I'm sorry. I do have another question.
Go ahead.
It has to do with staff. I'm looking where my notes are. County manager, county highway manager, highway director, what is the difference?
There is a mistake there.
Oh.
I noticed today. There's county manager.
Right.
I'm the director. We do not have a county manager. And if you look
so.
To the bottom of that list, we have a welder.
Yeah.
And there, it says 0 at the bottom. So what we need to get and fixed is put the 0 in the county manager and put a 1 in the welder.
Thank you.
I noticed
so
that this
the
happened.
County manager can't be the welder?
That's what I want to know. Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that.
Yes,
right.
They could.
Good question, Leslie. Dooley, are we back to you? Go ahead. Roll it out.
Traffic light maintenance. We hire someone from Syracuse. Is that typical? Is there nobody else?
You've touched on a very interesting concept. It's giving us a lot of issues over the last few years. It's Syracuse Signal is who we contract with. They are the only game in town. We have looked at great length for another contractor. They have been providing us the services that we've contracted with them to do. We generally don't get a really good response from them. Something that we're looking to do, and I need to contact them, and I guess they might hear about it now, but I want to talk to the city who has people that work on their lights, and if we could contract with them through that, and then even if we could partner like our, you know, share with an employee or something, that's something that we've really only worked on within our office, and I haven't had time to outreach, but we were looking for another provider for the last several months, but yes, it is the only people in town we've been able to find that service from, and I do have a plan to call the city to see if we can do something cooperatively.
Hold the words out loud.
Brack?
Yeah, just on that note, that yes, the city does have a department that does the lights that is now, after a retirement, a department of one. This may be a good opportunity to look into a shared services type of thing where we have one and they have one and can work, you know. I'm sure the city has many more traffic lights than we have, but they don't do just traffic lights. I mean,
right.
They're doing a lot of different things.
I have Mike and then Dooley.
How many traffic lights do we have? I seem to remember when we put in our first one when I was on the legislature earlier.
That's a good question. I bet we have probably 15.
Really?
The yellow flashers all continued. East Hill area, there's several lights there. Various places around the county.
Okay. Thanks.
Dooley.
There is a program called Traffic Control, which just says it provides safety. Could you tell me what it is?
Program called Traffic Control. Do you know the page?
Page 171. It's a summary page.
Site?
If you look at page 4, it doesn't look like there are many people involved. I'm confused about what it is.
What that is a consolidation of traffic control through various point, areas of the budget. So I'm going to have to do a little backtracking to get the answer to. I know most of that traffic control would be in our sign and traffic department, purchase of signs. That sort of thing.
You have you have just one sign mechanic, is that right?
We have one sign mechanic, right.
There is a brief description at the very beginning of your budget, Jeff, on page 160 at the bottom of the narrative. Serves the public in maintaining and replacing signage and pavement markings. Close to 302 miles of roadway and 4,600 signs.
Thank you. Yeah, pavement markings is 135,000 of that. The signs would be in the traffic control area. They have highway materials of 16,000. I believe that would be that whole program, really. 274. Yeah, that's the whole traffic control program. I could go down those couple of pages. It's funding of that senior sign mechanic, his fringes. He has some departmental software maintenance costs.
What page is that?
I am looking at a different.
Is it 162? Is that your line item budget for traffic control?
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, 162. The number 274563 is a little different, but no, it's the same if you take out the $1,000 revenue. Yeah. It's our whole traffic budget. Does that answer your question, Dooley?
It gives me a better idea. Yeah thank
okay.
you.
Jeff,
we could probably expand on that description of that program quite a bit. I mean, I think that's where I probably should look at doing something. It's more than provide safety on county highways. I apologize for that.
And you're talking about one FTE there. That's it?
There's one FTE in there.
Good enough. Anyone else have any questions for the highway manager? Thank you very much, Jeff. County Office for the Aging. I'm sorry, Rural Library Services. Do we have anybody here for that?
Actually, I'm here, but I'm also waiting for my colleagues. I'm Jim Bolton, who is the director of the library system. I can go to the library system, but the directors of the rural libraries were here as well.
We were expecting to go with rural libraries at 20 after 6, so hopefully they would be here at that point.
Yes, that's what I was expecting.
Okay. All right. Well,
that's what happened last year. They came right on time.
They came on time. Now, that's okay. We have to play this by ear sometimes because some things go quicker than other things, and everyone. That's fine. I'm sorry, Lisa. By the way, there is food in the back that was purchased by Kathy, and I have mentioned earlier that what I was looking for was $20 a pop from each of you who want to eat the food. If you choose to bring your own, then clearly you're on your own for that. So, Brian.
I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but some of them. I was going to say, it looks like the Office of the Aging, it looks pretty quick with no OTRs. I don't know why we can't.
Well, they're here. Let me. A
couple of them.
I think a couple more stuff.
Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, Let me ask you, the assembled masses here. Are you interested? Are you ready to take off for the aging right now, and for a short haul? Okay, sure. Julie, you had a question.
I had a question. I'm sorry, I came in after you had begun, so you maybe already said this. At our legislative meetings that start at 5:30, we usually take a break around 7:30, and I wasn't sure if you were going to take a food break around 7:30.
No, we're not. You may get up and circulate as you wish. Office for the Aging. Lisa.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Page 60.
The one with a few slides always takes the longest, but I hope this will be fast for everybody.
Actually, I might have spoken out of turn. Did you want to sit there for?
Oh no, thank you. I'm happy to go next. Thank you. So the first slide, you can see the recommended budget. We came in on target, and you can see the net, the percent change in revenues from 2014 to 2015, 16.55%. And I think the next slide, I can explain where that's coming from. Our major influence for the remainder of 2014 and a lot of 2015 is that we are expecting to receive, we've received the tentative allocation of $270,000 in funding from the State Office for the Aging through the New York Connects and Balancing Incentive, or BIP, program. That funding, considerable amount of funding, is slated to come to us any day, I'm told, and last through September 30th of 2015. We have not yet received the program instructions about how that money is to be used. We have some idea of how the state would like us to use that funding. They're interested in, of course, one-time expenditures in technology and infrastructure, and they would like us to put it towards salary. They're saying that a certain percentage of this funding will be ongoing, but we don't know yet how much. So, you know, I'm doing my best to look at strategies on how to best utilize these funds, looking at our office needs and the needs of our subcontractors. We're in the midst of some significant program changes with our PERS program, the Personal Emergency Response Program, where we've issued an RFP for vendors to take over the technology and infrastructure of that program and for us to retain the staffing pieces and outreach pieces of that program. So there are some unknowns with that that we expect that we'll be seeing in 2015. So we're hoping that we can use these funds as bridge funds in 2015 to utilize there. Again, it's a huge influx in state funding, and for that reason, I did not submit any over-target requests for use of county funding. Our full-time equivalents, we expect to remain the same in 2015. And like I said, no over-target requests.
Thank you, Brian. I have you and anyone else after Brian.
Yeah. This program where you're getting the funding connects and balancing incentive, is that for like falls?
It's funding that's coming out of both the State Department of Health and the State Office for the Aging, and it's coming out of the Medicaid redesign. So it's not entirely, you know, targeted toward falls. It's more targeted toward the states wanting to change the way that they prioritize funding, fund more home and community-based services, which we're in the business of providing, and fund less hospitalization and institutional care through Medicaid. So.
Okay. So balancing isn't like balancing.
No, it's balancing the way that they expend the Medicaid funds.
Okay, just because I know you have a between you and the health department and everyone, you know, seniors and falls and all that stuff is
yes.
A big, big item.
Yes, big emphasis on that.
Okay, thanks.
Michael.
Hi, Lisa. Thinking about FoodNet. And wondering, we had to put some extra money into that last year, and we gave it some money to support salaries. And I wondered, how is that program doing? Are we seeing a big increase in demand for its services? You know, we hear nationally about more food need out there for people. Wondered what's happening there.
Yeah, I was just up at FoodNet giving a presentation to their board this week on that topic. We're seeing, at least currently, kind of a level number of clients in their home delivered program and an increase in recent years in the congregate program, where they're funding for meal sites. So, yes, and it's interesting where food nets will be standing with this Medicaid shift as well, in that whereas in the past food net has provided meals to all with, you know, just anyone, you know, on a contribution policy, and if someone can't make a contribution, they don't. With the Medicaid clients and the Medicaid redesign, FoodNet will have a negotiated rate with the managed care plan, so they will be getting a rate per meal for all of those Medicaid clients. So that's actually an additional revenue source that they stand to gain through this Medicaid redesign. If that makes sense.
I just hope it's not subject to loss like the Medicaid funding for transportation.
There's that. I can't speak to that.
Anyone else? Julie?
Care transitions seems to be very changed. Can you explain what's happening?
Yes. In fact, And some things happened before we went to press time too, before this budget was published. So there's a kind of a further chapter in this story. So the original care transitions, which had a revenue stream and an account number in this budget, was a pilot program with the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Service. That program came to its end in at the end of May of 2014. So that program ended. At the end of July, beginning of August, we received notification that we were awarded a grant through the State Department of Health. It's another grant called BIP, but it's a different BIP. It's BIP Innovations Fund, and this is to continue care transitions program, the care transitions program serving Medicaid clients. So again, it's to prevent unnecessary rehospitalizations and promote home and community-based services for Medicaid clients.
And do you contract for those services?
We will be contracting with VNS. And we will also be contracting and working with CAP Connect through the hospital for that service.
So in your contracts, it looked like VNS was no longer a contract. So that's
yes. And at the time that we built this budget, they weren't. And they will be, again, actually starting this year and through 2015.
That's going to be more replacement pages for the budget book or not?
Well, we debated whether or not to try to get it in at the last minute, and I didn't have the right combination of staff in the office to make it happen by the time the book went to press. So I think what we decided to do was, because some of it is going to be funded this year, so I'm going to need to make some budget adjustments in the current year, and then we'll have to make an adjustment at the beginning of 2015.
Leslin.
Lisa, I have a number of questions as in my book about the individual programs.
Sure.
Like the Enhanced Fitness Program.
Enhanced Fitness, yes.
What is that and who does it? Is it something that's contracted out? What is it?
It's contracted out to lifelong, so it's an evidence-based fitness program.
All right. What's the difference between the congregate meals and what's done by Meals on Wheels?
The congregate meals, they're both provided by FoodNet. But they have four congregate dining sites where instead of having a meal delivered to your door or to your home, people come and participate in a group and have socialization and eat the meal together. So there's one at Titus Towers, one at Woods Edge in Lansing, one in Groton Housing Authority, and one in Trumansburg. So those are the four sites.
And could you tell me what are some of the services offered by the Northside Southside program?
The Northside Southside program, it's a contract of lifelong, and they provide monthly gatherings. They provide home visiting to frail residents within the north side and south side of Ithaca. It's targeted primarily toward African American seniors within the city of Ithaca. There's a lot of, shopping trips and, visits to, educational things that are happening throughout throughout town. And there's a partnership there with the GIAC program and the GIAC van.
I have two other really quick questions. And who does your office get a report on these programs?
Yes.
And monitors them?
Yes.
And then my last question is, could you please help me understand the difference between the agent services specialist and the agent services planner?
Sure. So there are three aging services specialists. They don't all work exactly full-time. They provide direct service to older adults, caregiver counseling, health insurance counseling, et cetera. And then we have one aging services planner whose responsibilities include contract monitoring, reporting, demographics, things like that. So she's not hands-on.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Rural Library Services. Please come up. And there are some empty chairs around microphones. If all of you want to make an appearance, please do that. Rural Library Services, it's in Section 5, page 42 in your big book.
Thank you.
No.
I would ask you to all of you to identify yourself and where you're from. That would work out nicely.
So, I apologize. We were trying to figure out a way into the old building. Didn't find one.
Found a guard. You have to campaign and run and get voted in.
Yeah. You know, so I'm sorry we were late. There we go. Who we are. We are the Rural Libraries in Tompkins County. My name's Diane Pamel. I'm the director of the Southworth Library in Dryden.
I am Susie Gutenberger. I'm the director of the Lansing Library.
I'm Annette Birdsell. I'm the director of the Ulysses Philomathic Library in Trumansburg.
I'm Sarah Knobel. I'm the director at the Groton Public Library.
I'm Tammy Kubinek. I'm the director of the Newfield Public Library.
I'm Joan Pelica. I'm the assistant director at the Finger Lakes Library System.
Thank you very much.
We've got you surrounded. So, much like our libraries, we are everywhere. We're on the main street of every village. Well, almost the main street. But we are the services that we are the ones who provide services to our small rural communities without a big price tag. We are the ones who will serve anyone who walks in the door. Libraries are always those that serve, regardless of age, regardless of social status, regardless of economics. We are there for everyone. And we are uniquely local and reflect and sustain each of our individual communities. Each of our libraries is different because each of our communities is different, and we provide services for each one of them. More than a collection of books, we are a place to meet, use computers, look at an exhibit, get help with homework, or read to dogs. We're not just books, as you can see, but we're the place to be. Rural libraries, any library, is the first stop for early literacy. All the preschool, infant and baby, story times, and assistance with parents comes from a library before it comes from a school. We assist families and create conversations around literature and other themes through our family story times and reading discussion. We provide adult reading and discussion groups for books and many other aspects of community life. We're probably one of the first sources for information. Someday we're each going to write a book about the questions we get asked just from people walking into the library. We provide school support and homework help. We even have an online Ask Us 24/7 service for those last-minute homework questions, and we do help. We provide some help for schools with Common Core, affordable care, and, of course, technology. We're also very collaborative with other organizations, local schools, summer camps, early literacy, seniors, classes for homeschoolers, some youth employment, and especially with each other. We've been, as all of us, the world's changed incredibly, and new technology and formats are part of our world as well. We have a new audience for library services with digital media, devices, and the support for them. We also provide, most of us provide digital literacy either through classes or informally. We spend a lot of time at the computers when we have it helping people do again, a book worth of things. We are the gateway to the digital world. 45% of the people that are below poverty level come to the library to use computers and technology. And 44% of Americans aged 14 and up use the libraries for technology. Probably 35% of the people that walk in the doors at my library come in to use the library or the wireless internet access. And I think that's probably the same for all of us. And one of the biggest parts of the glue that holds us all together is the Finger Lakes Library System. They connect each one of the 33 member libraries as a system, whether it's support for interlibrary loans and the delivery service that's provided, or digital titles, or technology support. Most of the digital titles, I can't say all of them, are purchased through Finger Lakes, and they're the ones that provide the platform called OverDrive for you to download digital titles. And on a side note, they spend at least $30,000 a year just for that service. And the use of that, also an interesting statistic that Joan provided, was it's increased about 50% each year since they started in terms of digital users. So across the board, costs have increased for our materials. Books are more expensive, audiovisual materials are more expensive, support's more expensive, and of course we have the digital media in the mix now too. So some of the key points that we've seen this year, which are why we're coming to you and asking for a touch more, is we've also been affected by mandated minimum wage increases. Last year, it was a 75-cent increase to $8, and it's going to keep going up to $9. So for a part-time worker that works 10 hours a week for 52 weeks, that's $468. When it goes up to to $9, it's $520 increase. So our original increase wouldn't cover even that. And we also were all caught up in the demise of Windows XP. A lot of our computers, we try to keep as up to date as we can, but technology went pretty fast, and XP is no longer supported. So we've had to replace all of our computers that are running on the XP OS. So for my library, it was 5 just in 1 year that we had to repurchase. So we have it in our budgets to increase our technology, but not really at that rate. So as a somewhat parting note, good libraries build services, but great libraries build communities. Our unique programs bring to our communities not only the collections and the resources we provide, but also support literate, productive, and informed citizens. We really are the heartbeat for most of our communities. And so these are the figures you've seen. What it breaks down to is $841.50 per library and $504 for the Finger Lakes Library System using the percentage breakdowns that we have been traditionally using. You're spreading that money across 5 different communities in the county and reaching all of the people with that increase. So it's a small cost. And that's whatever I'm not so good with financial things. So any questions for us about any of that or anything at all? We answer every question we have.
Yes. Let me just point out that the OTR was supported and recommended by the county administrator, and it's part of the county budget.
Thank you.
Will and whoever else.
So I know the Thomas County Library basically isn't budgeted for purchase of materials. That they benefit from the Friends of the Libraries. Are your budgets generally able to buy materials? And I know, of course, you get books through the larger system.
No, we all have a budget for materials. We have to budget for materials and purchase our own. And so it's always interesting because we do have different budgets and we do have acquisitions in them, but even though they're different, we still loan them out fairly freely to other libraries.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, surprised at the lowness of your OTR request because, you know, the city library is struggling or whatever, so maybe it's just the different scale.
Hey, we're country folk, right?
Every little bit helps.
It does.
Michael.
I always disclose at budget time that I'm a trustee of the Southworth Library, so I have a soft spot for rural libraries. But Diane, you made a point about the services that are provided in the rural areas at not a lot of money. And I remember a few years ago when we actually had a committee of the library, about rural libraries, rather, of this legislature. And that was one of the underscored points. It was compared to satellite facilities for bigger counties, for example, or cities. The amount of money that is spent, certainly at the county level, for the rural libraries is pretty small. And could you just give us a flavor of what a total budget for a rural library is?
It varies. Do you want to start?
So in Newfield, our total yearly budget is about $100,000.
That's your staff and everything, is that right?
Groton, it's $200,000, but that's because we're school district and we're civil service. So we do have to go according to different regulations.
We're not civil service. We're an association library, but our budget is around $260,000. We have a variety of revenue sources, but we do serve the whole county. And as Diane said, we share our materials freely with each other. So part of that low cost is our ability to network through the Finger Lake Library System, through delivery, and through supporting one another in the whole county.
The Lansing Library is at $140,000 for 2015, which has gone up significantly since we started 6 years ago, thanks to the taxpayers. We are a civil service, so we do have to follow the same rules, which mandate some of our salaries, but yeah, it's pretty small.
We're an association library. Our budget is about $150,000 every year, and we also have an endowment that helps us.
Thank you. Dooley, go ahead.
This is not a question for the libraries. This is a comment about the information that's in our budget book. It would be nice in the future to have each of the libraries described because they are all different and their revenue sources are different and who approves their budget, whether they get voted on or not, it matters. And the actual size of their budget. So I hope that we have a better job of describing them the next time around. And I'm sorry to see us not doing the county library in the same meeting because once we're thinking about libraries, it's easier to think about them all at once.
Anyone else? Thank you all very much. We appreciate your time and clearly the job that you do in all our local communities, so thank you very much for all of that.
Thank you.
With a $100,000 budget or $150,000, you do a lot of great things.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. John Nagley, Soil and Water, if you're ready to go. And Dan? Legislators, it is in Section 5, page 47, Soil and Water Conservation District.
Legislature meeting a while ago. It should be with your budget. Is that it, Jim?
Jim.
Excuse me, John. What, Will?
A couple just questions about our materials. Lesno was asking me, what are the MDs and the DDs and whatever? Are those?
These are the old codes that we used. Remember, we did the program impact statements, and we were trying to prioritize.
So mandated and...
I think it's MM is it's mandated. Nothing we can do about it. MD is mandated but discretionary. We have to do it. We have some discretion over how we do it. D is discretionary.
There's an MD.
DM is discretionary, but if we choose to do it, we're told how we have to do it.
Thank you.
That's the matrix.
That's the main one.
Okay. And secondly, we in past years have had a schedule with the list of presentations. Have we gotten that and I've just lost it, or did that not make it made this year?
Oh, no. We have
they were handed
many
out.
Of them.
They were handed out. I just have misplaced mine. I'll get another one somewhere.
Kevin. Here you go, Will.
Page numbers aren't on them, Will.
We're on soil and water. It's one of six meetings there.
Next year.
Go ahead, John. I love your outfit.
All right. Thank you. Well, I want to thank you for the opportunity to address the legislature tonight on behalf of the Tompkins County Soil and Water District. 2014 has been a time of significant change for the district. We've moved office locations with the Public Works facility. We've significantly paid down some outstanding deficits to the state, reorganized our grant management, accounting, and a lot of our operating policies. Without the support of the Tompkins County Legislature, the county administrator, various county departments working with us and through this process, we wouldn't be where we're at today. So I just want to start out with a big thank you to everybody that's been involved with this process. Looking ahead, 2015 is a year of firming up the foundation of the district. If I can use an analogy, 75 to 80% of the basement of the Soil and Water District is complete, and now we just want to add a few more bricks, put some soil around it, and finish off the foundation so we can grow the Soil and Water District home into the future. And the budget you're going to see tonight is a reflection of that. So the recommended budget, currently the district is appropriated $132,036 from the county budget. The recommended changes are a total of $52,294. And that includes both over-target requests and target funding. This would make the total amount appropriated to the Soil and Water District $184,330. And that's a total of 39.61% increase in funding. The one thing I would like to point out, well, a couple things I'd like to point out, are just some of the cost savings the county has seen from the district in 2014. $36,000 was saved on rent from our Hanshaw Road location. And now we are in the second floor space of the Public Works facility, so we're utilizing that space. We also purchase fuel from the county, so that's revenue back to the county through the highway budget. At the facility there, we contract with ITS for our phone support, our printing, and our technical support. And that's about an average of $3,000 per year is what I'm estimating it out, that will be a revenue back to the county through the ITS line item. And also the county highway has been sharing surveying services. We have technical services with a GPS surveyor, total station that the county highway would actually have to go out and use a consultant to to utilize those services, and that's free to the county. And if they were to utilize all that those services, that's probably about $5,000 per year. So, in effect, the county budget is a lot lower than the increases you see there, a lot lower than the 39.61 from where you were in 2013 and prior. So, really, it's kind of a wash from what you saved last year to what we're increasing this year. Some of the major influences that we've seen this past year, co-locating with the Public Works has been a huge blessing for the Soil and Water District. It's increased our efficiency, our effectiveness. Like I've mentioned before, we've had access to the fuel pumps there, and the space is just a lot more efficient for us. And utilizing the IT services has been a huge benefit for the district. The deficit to the state, we started with well over $300,000. We've cut that in half, so we're about $185,000 right now today. At the end of 2014, we're hoping to get that down to about $150,000. And there's a contract going on right now in the state of 2015 and on, hopefully being able to get that knocked out of the budget in 5 to 8 years or sooner. So we're optimistic that we can reach that target. And some of the other major influences that I want to bring up are the partnerships that soil and water districts have across the state are really tight-knit, and I want to throw another huge thank you out there to Cortland County Soil and Water District, who have been providing a clerk on it's a monthly basis. We get her about 2 days a month to help us get by with the accounting, the organization of the files, being able to kind of shadow some of their grant management schemes that have worked for them. And that's been a huge benefit to the district. So what are we asking for? This is one OTR that is fully supported in the tentative budget, and it is our fourth priority, but all of these are really priorities. It was hard to really kind of rank these. But this is for $15,000 to purchase a fuel-efficient car. Right now, the district has one pickup truck that gets a lot of use by the staff, daily usage, going to meetings, going to farm visits, going to regional meetings. And then we also have a one-ton dump truck that is utilized in our hydroseeding program budget that is not fuel efficient to get to meetings, but it is used for the larger hydroseeding equipment. So what we're asking for is a fuel efficient car that can get us back and forth to meetings, get us to regional meetings, get us to, if we need to go to Albany to do any state meetings, we have something that's fuel efficient and makes the district more efficient and effective on a daily operating basis. This was our number one priority that we had asked for. It's only partly supported by the tentative budget. We had asked for $45,000 to fill a district clerk position. Like I had mentioned, we've been working with Cortland County Soil and Water to help get us by this past year. But the district clerk position is very vital for keeping the office organized, keeping grant records and accounting organized, which is vital to our programmatic and grant budgets to make sure that all the documentation is there when we go to close out any grants or any program contracts that we have. And This money, there's $36,000 that's being recommended in this tentative budget, and that is seen from the rent cost that was saved in last year's budget. So that is the number one priority that we have as a district. These are some requests that we had put in, and there's a lot of requests in front of you. If you, the worst that can come back is the answer no. So if you don't ask, you don't get. So the number two priority, as a manager, I look at the staff as one of my biggest assets within the district. And if they are efficient and effective and feel like they're supported by the district, they will work more effectively for the county and the taxpayers. So the $31,000 you see there is for increased coverage for family health insurance. The district currently has a cap of $7,000 per employee for health insurance across the board, whether they choose an individual policy or a family policy. Right now, the individual policy through the consortium is $9,000 approximately, and a family policy is about $16,000 in the plan that we're in through the consortium. And I've been in conversations with Joe and Rick about what we can do to make it maybe get a more economical plan, get into a different tier or something within the consortium to make it more affordable for the staff. The $10,000 you see there for accelerating the deficit repayment, the old adage, the borrower is slave to the lender, rings true here. As we pay back the state, all of the money and revenues that we can get and accelerate that deficit payment will have to go back to the state instead of going back into programs or grant programs that we have. So we want to be able to accelerate that deficit repayment as quickly as possible. So the $10,000 you see there is one of the target requests. And then the $1,500 you see is, again, cost of living allowances, the 1%. Already seen in the budget will help offset some of that. But again, the staff are my biggest asset as a manager, and I want to make sure they're properly compensated. And then just to wrap up, some of the goals for the district, we want to be able to reduce our deficit by $60,000 from the current 185 by the end of 2015. And just that last statement there, every dollar that the county puts into the district, we can show $10 of revenue coming in from state sources, from federal sources, and other local partners that we are able to obtain from grant sources, programs that are unique to soil and water districts and only soil and water districts can obtain. So it really is a good investment for every dollar you put in. So with that, I will open it up to questions.
Yes. I have Brian, I have Mike, but I'd like to have Joe first.
Okay.
I just wanted to explain the approach on the OTRs, because if you read it literally, you kind of miss what the intent is. First of all, in terms of the level of support for the district, I think John explained it well. They are rebuilding the foundation. They're really doing a nice job in bringing this organization back with far fewer people. I think you're down maybe two staff from where you were just a couple of years ago. So they've been able to do it with a lot of effort from a very dedicated staff. In looking at where they are, it was clear that they needed additional support, not to bring them back to where they were 2 years ago, but just to make them a functional, effective organization. So it was clear that they needed some additional support. When we looked at it from our perch, we looked at, and this is what John said too, we looked at what kind of our historic level of funding has been. We've generally funded the operation, but also we funded their rental costs, and they were climbing to $36,000 had we stayed there. So in looking at the level of county supports, right or wrong, my sense was if we go to the traditional level of support, that means that we would up our appropriation by $36,000. So that's kind of where I began this review. Then when we looked at the list of OTRs, all were pretty compelling. And we found ourselves getting into, you know, what if it was a halftime clerk? What if we did a certain approach to their health care? What if the COLA was X as opposed to Y? And in the end, the approach that we took was, if the recommendation to you would be to increase their allocation by $36,000, it would make more sense for us to simply make that allocation to the district and have the district and its board decide how they're going to allocate that increase. So you see the $36,000 plugged into the clerk position. It's because there's a rigid format here. We had to put it someplace, so we put it there. But really the message back to the district is, have a good discussion with your board and decide how that money is going to be spent. So that's $36,000 in target support. The other piece of support is one time. So John showed you the $51,000 or whatever it was when he began. $15,000 of that is one time. If you approve it, it would go to them next year to buy the vehicle, and then it would be gone. That doesn't roll up in a subsequent target. So in terms of how we structured it, that's how we approach this budget.
Okay, Brian, and then Mike, and Will.
Thanks. And I want to thank you two, the whole board. You know, obviously this last year has been very difficult, to say the least, and I've heard nothing but good things since then. I want to get to the rent. I understand that the facility on Hanshaw no longer pay the rent. That equates into savings, but it's my understanding that normally programs outside of the county that use county facilities do pay a rent. Is there any rent arrangement for this year or any? Are we planning?
I think the agreement is either a dollar or less for them to occupy that space. And that's a very valid point. I will say, though, this space has been unoccupied for many years. So they didn't bounce anybody out of the space. It was vacant space that we put to use.
No, I understand that part.
Yeah.
But we have other programs that actually do pay rent. So that's truly a savings realized by you folks, and that's fine. But we need to be upfront about that.
Yeah, and again, accepting your point. But historically, we have paid their rent, so it was the county that was writing that rent check out in Hanshaw. So that county savings has basically been, I love this word, repurposed to support operations. Again, you are correct. We do have other tenants in other buildings. Alcohol and Drug Council pays us rent to occupy space in the mental health building. This is different.
Yep. I just wanted a clarification on that. So. That's fine.
Go ahead, Mike.
Three questions.
Want to use the microphone, please?
Sorry. So when you're talking the deficit here, are you talking about a $180,000 structural deficit, or are you talking about a $180,000 debt?
It's a debt. So it's basically a repayment back. But it's a... the state was looking at interest charges. They're not looking at that anymore. And it's through Ag and Markets, which we work with their grants, and it's basically a repayment of grant funds.
Okay. What kind of interest payment are you?
There's zero interest payment back to that.
Oh, so we're just trying to – I mean, is there a certain rush to get that off the boards? I mean, if you're paying zero, that's pretty good.
Like I said, you know, the quicker we can pay that back, the quicker we can be able to put dollars and time and effort into programs here in the, within the county.
Okay. Now, I'm just wondering if maybe the county wouldn't extend that line of credit as opposed to the state. I mean, if that's what's holding you back from doing stuff, I mean, we can give them 0%. So, I don't know. It's just an idea. I just have a little trouble with this last line, though. The dollar the county gives to the district. I mean, if we're giving you $36,000, you're not going to get $360,000 from someplace, or are you?
So basically, we apply for grants through state ag markets, which can go to farmers. It can go to on the ground BMP best management practice implementation for water quality.
Right.
And also, we can apply through New York State DEC funding, which will go towards stream bank rehabilitation, bridge improvements. The Banks Road project was one example out in Caroline where grant funding was supplied by the county. There was a bridge loan, but also it came through New York State DEC to help repair a bridge and protect the bridge infrastructure.
Gotcha.
There.
Okay, that was it.
Will.
Thanks. So am I right that we are back, we are fully able to apply for all grants? There are no
yep.
limitations where there, we thought at some point there might be a problem.
Yep,
so.
We are fully.
So the fact that we owe money back to the state is not in any way limiting our ability to do it, and it's interest-free. That's good. How are you able to get a efficient car for $15,000? Is that not a new vehicle, or is that through some amazing state contract program? Or
it will have to probably be either a shared car, or not shared car, but maybe a car that either we get from another county entity, or we just be able to go out on the market and find a efficient used car.
Okay.
Brian Dooley's car.
I got one for less than 15. You can.
We might be able to find just a sedan. They just want a basic sedan.
Yeah.
On state contract.
Okay.
Or a piggyback bid for that amount of money.
All right. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're not looking at anything super grand. It's just getting to meetings, getting to
right.
regional events. So.
That's good.
Levlin, and then Mike.
Hi, John.
Hey.
Are there only 5 employees?
Yes.
And no one has health insurance?
No, everybody has health insurance through the consortium. We have a cap of $7,000 for each individual employee, and then they're responsible for the rest, whether it's an individual plan or a family plan.
Okay. So what you were asking for in this OTR was to help people move from an individual, because it seems like that's what $7,000 would buy, to a family health insurance?
Yep, that would be an 80-20 split
at the family,
family plan.
Thank you. You answered my second question. Joe, may I ask a clarification?
Mm-hmm.
You approved $36,000 in OTR. Although it's under the clerk, you're saying that's not where you're putting it. You're just saying $36,000
in.
That's they
correct.
Can use it wherever.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mike.
John, I noticed your comment that said that the new space is working out well for you. And one of my concerns when you moved up there was how would that would work out for your clientele? Are they able to find you okay? And is that are they satisfied with the location?
They are. It's a little bit. The first couple, 5-6 months was difficult for people to find us. It's still a little bit of a maze to get upstairs for them, but the signage is good. And I think a sign out front is warranted to have that out front presence. I know, you know, most of the ag base is in Lansing, Groton, Dryden area, and Trumansbury, Ulysses, kind of the northern reaches where there's the better soils. But a lot of times when we're going out on, we're going to them, we're going to the farms, we're going to the landowners, So it's usually for ag value assessment for tax purposes when they would have to come in and sign something. But there again, we're working with ITS of, is there a more efficient way that people can go online and fill out these forms instead of having to come to the office? And, you know, let's try to make everything as electronic as we possibly can for and efficient and easy for the taxpayers and the public, so that they don't have to come to the offices. I think that's the ultimate goal.
I would note that over the years we've seen the figures, and Tompkins County has the amount of money that we put into the Soil Conservation District locally is smaller, quite a bit smaller than what many other counties put into their districts. And so I think we should always keep that in mind. And it might be interesting to have an update on some of the surrounding counties and what their county contributions are to their soil and water conservation districts. The other thing I wanted to ask about is, can you give us any new information on the hydrilla effort?
Yeah, so the hydrilla effort is ongoing. We've been attacking the plant for the last year here with herbicide treatment, and we're probably going to be concluding that in October with herbicide in Fall Creek and the Cuga Inlet, and also in the Stewart Park Ponds and in some cove areas along Fall Creek. We're getting some good results. The Cuga Inlet, we're seeing not very many plants come up from the previous year's treatments. And we are finding some in little pockets here and there that we can go in and actually pull out hand removal or put in what's called a benthic blanket. It's basically a barrier, bottom barrier that covers the plant. One concern that we are having is the 20 through 2015, we're secure with federal funding. The state has allocated funding of $775,000 for this Cuga Inlet project for hydrilla eradication. They put the caveat on there that we could not use any of that funding until all of our federal funding had dried up. But they put a 5-year contract term agreement on this contract. So we have to and then they finally lifted that caveat this past year. But now we have 1 year to spend $775,000 by the end of 2015, which is very unlikely. So I've been in communication with Joe and the city about addressing New York State DEC and seeing if there's any chance of extension of this contract, that we can keep pushing this contract forward. And a lot of the issue is the reimbursement. They want this 100% reimbursed, so there has to be upfront costs covered by somebody here locally, whether it's the city, whether it's the county, whether it's the Soil and Water District. And that seems to be a theme starting to run throughout state grants. And that's something that I know Joe and I have been talking about, of some type of reserve account that can be used for these state grants. As we apply for them, is there a pot of money that we can use to then replenish that reserve account once we get grant funding back in? So through 2015, we're okay, and I think we're really getting ahead of it, and we're still on the eradication process. But after 2015, it's a little dicey of where we're at with funding for this. But we want to continue the process.
Thank you.
Will.
Just on that, John, is that grant specifically for hydrilla? It could not be used for other invasive
Specifically targeted for hydrilla. It was.
There's essentially no way to bank it. You have to spend it within that time frame.
Yep.
Okay, that's very unfortunate.
Any other questions? Dooley?
Are there any more AmeriCorps people available?
Not through our district and the soil and water districts. I know Cayuga County does the AmeriCorps program.
Why don't we?
We still have to pay that AmeriCorps. There's still a stipend that we would have to pay into that. And
what order of magnitude is that?
We're talking probably on the order of $5,000 to $10,000, probably, for an intern.
That always seemed like a really good deal to me in the past, but it's not one of your OTRs.
Yeah. Yep. You know, at this point, like I said, we're trying to establish that foundation, again, reestablish our footing. Once we get into some projects and programs that require the interns, I think we will reinvestigate that AmeriCorps program.
Anyone else? I just want to make a comment. David and I are the reps on soil and water, and I have learned a bunch since going over there, and I'm sure Dave has also. This organization could have very well been called the Phoenix Soil and Water District, and it survived, and it's moving upward with our help, Les and clearly John and the people on the board. So I individually, and I know Dave does, appreciate the work they've all done, and I think it's a you know, we'll see what we see when it comes to voting and things, but clearly they've turned a corner, and it's very important that they've turned that corner.
And I'm sorry, but I did not introduce my board chairman, Dan Carey, here. He's a farmer from Groton.
Hi, Dan.
Any other questions? Thank you, John. Thank you, Dan.
Good job,
John. Transportation planning. It is section 4, page 342. And Dwight, you're the transportation planner this evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Dwight Mengel. I'm the transportation guy sometimes. People call me for all kinds of things. But really what I do is all of the public transportation grant management for federal and state grants. That takes up about 60% of my time. I do mobility management for the county, which is through many different efforts and working with a lot of mobility partners. And also in my budget is the county's support for the Gadabout program. So let's start. Wrong one. So basically, I'm showing that we've reduced expenditures and revenues from this year to next year. And that was by applying a very sharp pencil. And basically, we are down to the bare bones necessary to a function. Just because that's a very easy way to do budget planning. The one thing that happened this year, continuing into next year, is that we did lose a position for mobility program specialists in the Department of Social Services due to a staff reduction. And so here what you're seeing, too, is a further reduction in the program expenditure that related to that position in a future year. Influences. On the grant management side, we have many more competitive public transit grants. I think we'll probably see that for the next 2 years from the feds. And we apply for everything that doesn't do with rail. So any opportunity to buy buses for TCAT, we create grants. There's a lot of competitive grants. It seems to be like one every month and a half. And the budgets are laughable. The last one that we're going to actually work on is like a $9 million budget, a grant opportunity for the nation, $9 million. But it's sort of tailored for us on the mobility management side, so we're kind of interested in that. More federal oversight. We have a lot more federal oversight that we're going to be experiencing in 2015. That's a triennial review year. Every 3 years, the federal government reviews its our compliance, the county's compliance, and by extension, the compliance by all of our subrecipients, with TCAT being the largest one, for 17 regulatory areas. And there's a new grant management system going to effect in January, and that is going to be interesting. The federal people have already told us to sign up for every single webinar we can find about this because we're going to need it. So in the future, I can envision the need to have a part-time assistant of some sort dealing with a lot more detail. On the mobility management side, we have lots of things going on. This first one with that the Medicaid funding loss to rural counties who are our neighbors very well may impact commuter service to our county. And we'll need to wait in the next couple months to see if there's any public announcements or notices relating to commuter service that's coming into Tompkins County in terms of its reduction or elimination. So we need to work up and work with our partners, the ITCTC, especially on options for commuters, especially if people who are employed in our county are not going to be able to access bus service. And we have options that we can work with Cornell to inform their employees, and we can work with the Ithaca Downtown Partnership, and we can work with other major employers in our county to get the word out about options for people if there's termination of service. We're revising the coordinated transportation plan, which basically means that it's an opportunity for about 40 agencies to work together to coordinate resources and to fulfill goals that are in many county programs. And one of the unintended opportunities of the Medicaid loss is opportunities for regional collaboration. And we just see that more and more and more. We have to be very sensitive that we have about 16 or 17,000 people a day come into Tompkins County to work. And we have about 6,000-7,000 Tompkins County residents leave the county going to work. And so we have a very more mobile workforce, both working in other counties, people coming into our county. For example, in Schuyler County, 49% of their labor force works in Tompkins County. So that's the opportunities. We're still a team of one. And there's no OTRs.
So questions for Dwight, Peter Stein, and then Mike.
Good thing about having a team of one, because it cuts down the number of arguments I can think. So there's a question I had that I don't really understand. The grants that you look for in public transportation, who do you look for it from other than TCAT and Gadabout? Who are your customers?
Who we contract with other than TCAT and the Gadabout is that we have Cornell Cooperative Extension, which operates the Way to Go program. We have a small grant pool, which is competitively selected through the ITCTC. And in that pool, we support Ithaca Car Share's affordable car share program targeted to people who earn less than 150% of the federal poverty level. That's called Easy Access. We help support mileage reimbursement for volunteer drivers for the FISH program that takes people to medical services. We support, we have a small grant that's gone to Challenge that supports travel training for individuals with disabilities to be able to use buses and Gadabout and other mobility services. And we've had other agencies of different types have had like one or two times small grants that help support an innovative program. But the ones that I've outlined are they tend to be very small. Very small grants. And when we have discussions with the federal people, they're amazed that there's a federal grantee who might be getting like $5,000. And so how much regulatory burden do you want to put on that? And when we talk to the people from Washington, they're very amazed about things like that. But we have a lot of creativity here in our county, and we actually work together very, very well. And we have a spectrum of mobility services that we're looking to increase. We have one really important missing piece of the puzzle, and that's a guaranteed ride program. And a guaranteed ride program would enable people who have who they would need to sign up, but people who've come in by bus or by car share or by carpooling or by bicycle if they had an emergency and they needed to get back, the classic one being they have a sick child in school. This is like AAA for everybody who's not driving their own car. And through the ITCTC, we've been looking at different business models that exist around the country to run a very reasonable, modest, guaranteed ride program. In social services, a couple years ago, when we had our mobility program specialists, we took the idea of the guaranteed ride program and we had a guaranteed ride to work program. And this is actually very important because we had individuals, if they didn't get to work, they were fired. And they're back on services. And by supporting them with some taxi rides while they got their car fixed, that seemed to be a very economical way of keeping people employed. That's something that I'm looking to add to this new program that's being developed.
Could I just ask one more question?
Sure.
Thanks. Do you happen to know, does TCAT do grant searches in addition to what you're doing for buses, or is all of the grants that they search for to replace buses go through you?
They may be looking. We actually all are looking, but we're like hooked up to the same cable channel, so we're all getting the same announcement, and we discuss the feasibility and amount of work, and does this look like a good fit? So between
work together is what
So between Fernando Diargan and myself and the folks at TCAT, we are keeping up with what's available.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Mike.
Dwight, you mentioned that we do a lot of activity trying to find grants for buses for TCAT.
Yes.
Do we get any revenue from TCAT to help support that effort?
No, because we use our annual transit grant to like fund my position. So our costs for grant management are covered in the baseline grant that we get, the allocation that the county gets for urban transit annually. So that is not at risk, you know.
Okay.
Talk about foundation. We want to.
That answers my question.
We like want to have one.
Anyone else? Thank you, Dwight.
Okay, thank you.
Next up is ITCTC, Fernando Diargan, and he is here. Oh, I'm sorry. It is 4-191.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So, Dwight stole a lot of my thunder here because we do work together a lot, and I think I have to modify what I was going to say so you don't hear things twice. So my name is Fernando de Aragon. I direct the Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council. We are what is called the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Every urbanized area with 50,000 population or more has an MPO, Metropolitan Planning Organization, across the country. What we do is we manage the expenditure, the planning expenditure of federal transportation dollars. So that's where we work closely together. The county is the designated recipient for federal transit dollars, and those monies need to be included in the programming that we do, in the planning that we do through my agency. So we cross paths a lot. I'll taking a look at our budget real quick. We've had a flat budget for the last approximately 6 years or so. Our budget is funded 100% by federal transportation dollars, so there's no county monies. The county share, what we call the local share, is in the form of in-kind. Basically, we're hosted by the county, so I have an office in the building downstairs with the planning office, and that is a big chunk of the contribution. Being hosted by the county, we also are under your hiring rules and human resources, purchasing, contracts, all those things flow through the county, so we act a lot like a department. But our funding comes from federal sources, 100%. The difference that you see here and the change is due to a project that we had. We had an NYSERDA grant the year before that we didn't have this year. So that takes up about 90% of that $5,000 difference in the 2 years' budgets. So our major influences, like I mentioned already, our budgets have been essentially flat, so that's been, I'm sure you're all familiar with this, challenges that come along with that. We had to have staff reduction last year, which was an unfortunate step we had to take, but it was essential in order to continue operations at the levels that we had. So we're, we developed a plan that we're pretty steady for the next few years. If I jump to the last budget, the last bullet point, the federal decisions made by Congress for the federal transportation program directly affect the funding that we get at the agency, as well as the funding that's available for distribution for projects and programs. We keep an eye on Congress, see what they do. Right now, the federal transportation bill was basically they punted. They continued funding at flat levels through the beginning of next year, and then that will come before them again. In the ideal world, they would have like a seven-year bill with hopefully robust funding, but there's a lot of different issues going on. They're not sure where the monies are going to come from, and they're struggling with this one on the fiscal side, on the political side, and we'll see how that resolves. But we keep an eye on that because it affects us directly. We have a staff of four, or the two of them are part-time at this moment. We have no OTRs. I'll be happy to.
Question for questions. Fernando. Dulick?
You just said two are part time. Could you be more specific?
Two of my staff, one is working about 60%. Well, both are in the 60% time. One voluntarily, and the second one we had to make the move last year to help meet our budget needs.
The reason I asked is that on page 192, where it gives full-time equivalents, it looks as though they're all still full-time.
It shows up that way, and that's something we can discuss if it's important for you to fine-tune that to be more specific. If the feds were to restore funding to the right levels, we'd be happy to, make those full-time positions. I'm not sure if it'd be prudent to leave them at four, it'd be a better move, or if it's necessary to adjust the books, would be happy to do that.
Well, I would feel better if it were accurate as of the time we're getting this information, that's all. And I knew what the answer was, but I just knew what the page said also.
Anyone else? Thank you, Fernando.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That concludes our first meeting of six, and I appreciate your time and effort. We did a good job staying on task, and it's over for this evening.
Almost. You've gotten a lot of paper tonight. I have two more pieces of paper if you want them. One is kind of a summary of all the OTRs, showing which ones are funded and not. I think we did this for Brian last year, the year before, and everybody liked it, so I've got those. And there's another kind of crib sheet on tax rates, tax levies, things like that for you. So,
I wanted to mention that the program information or program impact assessment information, the full reports is up on the county's website on the budget page.
Thank you.
For your review.
Oh, a tiny print again.
How long is it?
Next. Yeah, I hope everyone
pages.
has a schedule. The next meeting is September 18th, and we have assessment, BOE, facilities, IT, DSS, and my favorite, weights and measures. And that will be on the 18th. Thank you all again.